Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello and welcome to Just the Fit. You know, I've been, you know, stuck in the house like everybody else for the past year and a half. And don't know about y'all, but I got real into true crime like many other Americans out there. So today I invited someone who is not only an actor, a comedian, but she is also a true crime aficionado. Please welcome from Superstore, Lauren Ash.
Thank you so much for having me.
By the way, I just heard that you are Canadian.
Yeah.
And you stuck here during the quarantine, during the pandemic.
I did, yes. I know. I had a few times where I was like, should I just go home? Should I just, you know, put my hat on and just back out the door, maybe?
I would have gotten the first flight out of this meth lab of a country. I literally was like, I know Canada is looking at us like we're the meth apartment, like under them in the middle of Hollywood. How did you not go home?
You know, again, I just decided to hunker down. I was like, if things really got extreme, I was ready. I had a go bag, packed, but I was like, I think we should just wait it out. And unfortunately, Canada's had a real tough go on the back end of the pandemic. So they're kind of still in the thick of it up there now. So,
which is weird because normally y'all have it all together.
We do normally. It's very political and unfortunate, but they're on the upswing. The pendulum, it always swings back. You know what I mean?
Always.
So thank always. God. Thank God for it.
Is there like a clause with Canada that you guys have that when you leave Canada that you have to be nice? Because Americans think Canadians are the nicest people ever. And you guys just so happen to be the nicest people, but I've watched your hockey team. That is not nice.
No.
Do you guys just like save it for when you go home?
Yeah. You know, what I always say is that I think a common misconception about Canadians, because I do think that as a people, we are quite kind, but we're also very adept at very, very precise passive aggression. So I think that sometimes our niceness kind of it makes people miss times where we're like, yes. Oh, so that's the choice that you're making. That's questionable. Okay, like we're just very good at the passive aggression. So I do think that there is just a level of pettiness that a lot of Canadians, and I think a lot of Canadians will agree with me, that it's like we're a very kind people, but we also like hold a grudge. You know what I
yes.
mean? We are also like, we'll be like, okay, yeah, no, that's fine. And then be like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, that's kind of in our cultural fabric.
I must be Canadian. I better do that 23andMe because a bitch is passive aggressive and I can hold a grudge longer than I can hold a fart. Okay.
Oh, I have grudges against people and I don't even remember why. I just am like, I know that that guy did something to one of my friends like 15 years ago and he's still dead to me. That's just it.
Look, get your iPhone out. I leave it in the notes. I'm going to put it in the notes why yep. I can't stand your ass.
Exactly. That's a good idea. I am going to start taking notes.
Oh, I have it in alphabetical order just in case you need to pull it up, bitch. I have the screenshot dated here. I have the separate folder for all my grudges.
Oh, I love that. The grudge That's encyclopedia. That's brilliant.
No. You have to have the files, okay? Because let's pretend you know, if the IRS came to ask you why you're mad in 2018, you got to be able to like pull that file out of anywhere. Okay.
You're right. You I can't be like, it. I think you're right. You have to be able to bring the information, bring the facts, state your case.
Because then you start to think, am I the one that started the grudge? Am I the one that started the fight?
And then you start gaslighting yourself, and that is no way to live. Then you're in a fight with nobody but your own brain. You know what I mean?
Bitch, I am the gas company, okay? Because I will gaslight myself. Hey, let's talk about gaslighting yourself, because I can go all day with being like content with all my decisions in life. The minute 10:30 hits and it's time for me to go to bed, why is the gas company working overtime at 10:30 at night in my head?
The witching hour. It's the worst. I've made a pact to myself that I'm like, no decisions get made after dark. No decisions. None. Whoa. Because I am the exact same way where I start to, it just starts to go and I start to overthink. And then I think, well, wait a minute, is that, or was that, or I never pick a fight after dark with a
smart.
Partner. You can't do it. I'm like, I always am like, go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Go to bed.
And if you wake up, and if you wake up and you're still okay, then it's fair game. But if you wake up and it's gone, then it's the midnight curse. It's the
for
midnight
sure.
curse. Yeah.
My problem though is I won't sleep if I have something on my mind. Mm-hmm. So I am the type, I'm a Scorpio too, and I'm not from Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bitch, I'm gonna let you know. Okay. Yeah, and I have to work on that.
Right.
But I do agree with you. Going to bed and waking up, and if it's still on your mind, say something, you know, let it out. But I can't. I'm sorry. I'm a petty hoe. I'm a petty, petty LaBelle. Petty LaBelle.
I have not always been this way. I have only, this is a recent, like, you know, self growth kind of addition into my life. I have not always, practiced what I'm preaching by any stretch, but I am a firm believer in try to go to bed angry. They always say like, never go to bed angry. I think that's bullshit. I think sleep cures everything. I think sleep and food can cure a lot of
100%.
Disagreements, right? It's like, just go to bed, get up, have a meal. If at that point you're still pissed, there's obviously something to it. But I guarantee 80 to 90% of the time, it's going to be gone.
I love how she's like, I don't know where it came from in the last few years. I'm like, yeah, since you became rich from being on the Superstore for six motherfucking years. Yeah, rich people don't have problems, Lauren Ash. That's why six seasons on a hit show.
Listen, I got to tell you though, I am like somebody who, I think because it took me a while, like before I always think about young people that get fame, young people that get success at like 16, 18, 20. Yes. I am very grateful that it took into my 30s before I got that kind of success and that I had that struggle and that journey for many years, because I now am like, I am somebody who is very frugal. I mean, ask anybody at work. I get teased about my car. I drive the same beat up Jeep Patriot. It's a 2013 that I bought when I first came out to LA, you know, because I'm like, it still runs. There's no problem with it. Like, what's the problem? So definitely I am someone who is like, it can all go away. There's one of that famous quote of Brad Pitt's. He said something along the lines of like, we're all only one step away from the chicken suit. And that really 100%. Resonated with me. I really do believe that and live that. So I think you're right. I think that I live in a much more calm world, but very just ready. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, calm, oh no, for sure.
But one sure. eye open, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like it could all fall apart. You never know what's going to happen. It is a wild, wacky industry.
But let me ask you a question. How old were you when you felt like you hit it?
I booked my first network television show called Super Fun Night. It was on ABC with Rebel Wilson. We did one season. I turned 30 when that happened.
You're going to freak the fuck out.
I love what?
I turned 30 the day after I started Daily Pop, my talk show on E.
Stop. See, that's, yes. See, that's in the air. I think about who I was. I mean, listen, I was like 90 when I was four. I'm an old soul. But I do look at the young stars who are getting all of this money and all of this fame at, you know, yeah, like 18, 19, 20. And I just feel like there's no way that you're not going to Lindsay Lohan yourself on some level. It's impossible.
I look at these people and I think to myself, you know, people are so hard on the Lindsay Lohans of America, or even the Justin Biebers, who is Canadian.
Thank you very much.
Shout out to Canada.
Thank you.
We like to give Justin Bieber back to Canada when he's acting a mess, but then we like to take him back when he's good. You know, he's from LA. No, he's totally from LA. He's been here since he was 15. Oh my God.
It's so true.
It's like Britney. Like when she's doing good, she's from Louisiana. When she's not doing good, she's from Mississippi.
Yeah. Because she's
right on the border. She's right on the border.
Yes.
It's true. These kids, you know, if you gave myself or anybody all that money and all that cash at 17 years old, I bet we'd be pissing in buckets too and coming off of boats with my hoo-ha out. I would do it.
100%. You're giving, certainly in the case of Bieber, and listen, do I defend him because he's Canadian? Probably.
Probably.
But his frontal lobe hadn't finished growing. You know, there's like a part of the brain that doesn't finish growing, especially I think in men until they're 23 or something, you know? And it's like, he's 13, 14 having a truckload of cash backed up to his house. Truthfully, I'm like, I think ultimately, not that I'm defending, whatever his bad behavior, but he did okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like there was, he ultimately it's like, there's gonna be some speed bumps and,
sure.
It could have been worse, I guess is my point. I just think it could have been way worse. Do it.
I'm saying I'm defending him. By the way, I was looking at him doing all of these things. And, you know, sometimes I would be on panels and they would be like, can you believe it? I'm like, oh, my God, I surely can, because I've done some of the same, if not even worse, at 21. And I was broke. OK, I was broke as a joke. So I had no excuse. But I feel like for myself, I wasn't the biggest Justin Bieber fan starting out. You know, he had a few hits that I would rock out. I would jam to. And I'm also like, I am one of those people who, if somebody has a bop, I will say, that's a bop. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need the whole album, but it's a bop. Listening to his last album, I got into it because he was like, it's R&B. First of all, it's not R&B. But I understand this man more than I've ever understood any other artist in my life right now, because he's finally at that moment where he's letting you know how he felt that whole time.
Right.
And it's interesting that I felt like nobody listened to him when he was like, I'm going through shit. I am lonely. You know what I mean? Like, I know that there are millions of people who love me, but do they? You know what I mean? It's like this weird thing when you go back and listen to his music. I just felt like he was like a rat inside of a cage who just wanted to get out, but no adult would let him out.
Yeah. And you're also a bit of a prisoner in terms of your freedom and ability to, you know, he can't just go to the mall. He can't do the things that kids his age at the time were doing, because you'll get mobbed, literally mobbed. You know, it's a very interesting time, I think, as that young a teen to ostensibly become kind of housebound. Now, I understand that also you have the money and the freedom to travel and go to places and do things. I get
not
that,
the same.
But it's not the same. There's no normalcy. Let's put it that way. There is definitely no normalcy in any way.
It's not the same. One of my favorite things to do in life is to go to Starbucks in my pajamas with no underwear on, and I haven't brushed my teeth yet, and I'm in a mask and a baseball hat, mm-hmm. and to walk up to the Starbucks counter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like going for you. Going somewhere without a bra on and just being like, fuck it, everybody. No one knows who I am.
Yep.
Not having the freedom to do that would feel a little crazy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now listen, during the pandemic, I was the person who was going out in pajamas, sans undergarments. Loving life, got the mask on, and people, I would talk and people would be like, Dina, literally, superstar. And I was like, even with the mask on. So I feel like I should start doing accents and then they'll never know. You know what I mean?
Be careful. Cancel culture is here. Don't do the wrong accent, bitch.
Listen, no. We're sticking to the British Isles. We're sticking to a posh English, maybe a Cockney. Even that's a risky one. We're sticking to posh British. That's it. You know what I mean?
No. Give me Jamaican. Give me something Adele would do. Like, you know what? Just come through like Chet Hanks.
I can't.
You know what I love too about you, and the reason, probably one of the main reasons why I said, let's do this.
Yeah. Why? I want to know.
Cause you're into true crime.
Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah.
And I need to talk to you about something because I've been dying to know what you think about this.
Yes.
Why do all of these true crime shows only focus on white ladies? Like, they have to be white, skinny, with cute parents for them to focus on it. Like, Jean and Terry, Amanda's parents, are always cute. Mm-hmm. Amanda always went to a cute university, was always in a sorority. Like, I just never get anything more than the pretty girls on campus.
Listen, I'm going to say that I actually think it's a broad, I'll get serious on you for a second. I actually think it is a broader issue because I think that what I have learned doing a true crime podcast, we haven't even been doing it that long, is that the pretty is what gets the attention. And those are the cases that become these huge famous cases that have all of this money poured into them, all of these resources, all of this attention. And there are so many, I mean, the tragic part when you start to really get into true crime is you really start to feel the weight of just how much is out there and that it's kind of never ending. And that there are so many cases, exactly like you're talking about, where it's like, we're not talking about the people who aren't the blonde, white, pretty girl who got taken or was murdered. You know what I mean? And it's, yeah, I know. I feel you. Totally. I'm like,
where's the Indian family? Where is the Black family? And I'm mad. I'm mad because, look, I like Snapped because the people are more ratchet on Snapped. And I feel seen. Like, I feel seen and heard on Snapped.
Yeah. I feel like Snapped should just be called She Was Pushed. Don't you think? Yeah. Like, it's like every time I watch it, I'm just like, yeah.
No. Or I know why she did it.
Exactly. Like, it's like, I get it. Like, yeah. Okay. She was pushed.
I got it.
The woman was pushed. Like, it's.
I know why Joanne did it. Okay.
She had a terrible childhood. She was in a terrible relationship. I mean, she felt like she had no other options.
Horrible.
The story is never like she grew up as a trust fund baby. She had a privileged life. And then one day she did a murder. Like, no, it's always like something terrible happened to Joanne that made her kill. Come on.
By the way, Joanne probably met social services at some point in her life before she killed somebody. That's where Snapped is for me.
There's a correlation.
It's a correlation.
I don't disagree with you. I think that you're right. You don't. There isn't the same kind of coverage. It's fascinating. And you know, what's interesting too, is that on our podcast, one of the things we do is we have a subscription service, and for people who subscribe, they can vote once a month to choose a case that we're going to follow. And we always give them four choices that are very diverse, like four very different cases, very different walks of life, very different people. And
they pick the white girls.
Every single time. Every single time. And it's gotten to the point now where we're like, we have to make it clear that it's like, we're not the ones picking the, like, listen, we're happy to give the people who vote what they want. Of course, that's the whole point of the democracy, obviously. But we've realized that we feel like on our show, it's like we have an obligation, or we feel an obligation, that we've also got to talk about these other cases. And we've got to talk about the stuff that doesn't get as much attention, because it just feels like there's such a wild imbalance. When you really start to get into it and dig into it, it's really overwhelming, truthfully.
It feels crazy to me. Like, yeah. I'm like, am I nuts? You know, there was like this moment where, like, I think it was like 33 girls had been missing in Chicago at some point, like 33 Black girls. And I was like, yes, 60 Minutes is about to be lit. Like, I canceled booty calls. I wasn't leaving my couch. I stocked up on food and wine because this bitch was not leaving her bunker.
Absolutely.
And then it was like, picture this, a sleepy town in Idaho. And I was like, Idaho? Bitch, Idaho, there are 33 missing in the Windy. Like, come through. Like, where is it?
Exactly.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So season two of your podcast, I know season one, you guys did the Unsolved Mysteries thing, which was brilliant. Yes. Because I love Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah. What are you guys doing for season two on True Crime and Cocktails?
So season two, we're calling our famous fatalities edition. And so it's been celebrity deaths or just famous cases, like I'm saying. So, you know, we've covered JonBenet Ramsey, Brittany Murphy, you know, the big kind of very famous cases. But as I said, as we've kind of gone along and we've been realizing, oh my gosh, so many of the very famous cases are, of course, specifically blonde white women. There's so many famous blonde white woman cases, which is so fascinating. We've also decided to do a couple of different things coming up. So coming up, we've started a serial killer series because I kind of have a serial killer fascination, which is neither here nor there. But the first one I wanted to cover, thank you very much. The first one I wanted to cover was the Grim Sleeper, who is a serial killer that I had never heard of before because he was killing around the same time as a little known serial killer called the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, who got all kinds of press because he was targeting middle class, upper class neighborhoods. Meanwhile, the Grim Sleeper was killing on his own street in South Central LA. And they,
isn't that crazy?
The body count, they believe, could be over 100 women. And I'm like, these are the stories that we need to tell. These are the stories that people need to know about so that we can learn to not repeat these. So that when people go to the police and say, hey, there's a guy that's been doing some creepy things, they don't say, ah, he's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's a good guy, you know?
No, it's fine. There's 100 women in his backyard that don't look like they're moving. Oh, it's going to be cool.
It's fine.
It's in South Central.
Who cares? Exactly. So that was, again, we've decided that moving forward, we're going to try and do more of a balance. So, of course, we're still going to give you all of the very famous blonde women who have died, but we're also going to intersperse it with some lesser known cases that we feel deserve the attention and deserve to get their stories told. Because, again, it becomes overwhelming when you really start to get into the world of true crime. We've only been doing the show about 7 months now, which is also fabulous because we've had such an amazing response.
Yes.
But when you start to dig in, you really do start to feel the weight of it. Do you know what I mean? And just the weight of how much is out there and how much doesn't get any attention. And it feels like we need to do a little bit of our own part to help.
Well,
you know?
Also, you know, true crime became a big deal. I mean, Serial kind of threw true crime on top of its head because you had a police investigation that lasted multiple years that couldn't figure out the crime. And then somebody with a mic and a pencil came through and kind of sort of figured the case out, you know, herself. And you hear of all these people like opening these cold cases and starting to like investigate them, and they're doing, you know, more than the police did in 5 years. Like, I mean, like, I don't know. It's so crazy. Live and Die in LA was one of my favorite. I almost died at that one.
Totally. Well, that's when the Grim Sleeper case is also very interesting because he killed over the course of multiple decades. The police never came to any of the families saying, we think we have a serial killer, when they kind of knew that they thought they had a serial killer. And it wasn't until the 2000s when a crime reporter was the one who literally pieced it all together. She literally went rogue, went public, ultimately what led to him getting caught. So it really is exactly what you're saying. It is a very interesting time. I think also with the internet obviously being such a huge part of our lives, and there is so much information, if you're willing to take the time to look, that you can obtain completely legally. I have to add, it's all obtained legally.
Is it?
It is. But you know what I mean? Like, it is. It's, and that is, of course, the dream. I think for anyone who gets into this kind of level of true crime, you're just hoping maybe you can find something that somebody missed to hope 100%. To get some justice. You know.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You guys interview witnesses. You guys interview people who were a part of the case. Who's the person that you were like, we're going to go out to this person about this case, but there is no way they would talk to us?
Here's
the
thing.
Who did you guys get?
We don't make much contact with people involved out of our own Canadian fear. It's our own Canadian fear that we're like, we want to make a difference. We want to get involved, but anonymously. Yeah. So
use your real names.
Yeah, we use our real names. So we don't go out too hard, but my co-host, who's also my cousin by blood, sister by life, Christy Oxborough, she has been known to go to people's Facebooks and find people that are involved. And she'll message basically anybody and be like, hey, I'm researching this case. Like, can you give me any information? Whatever. So far, not many people are willing to speak. But my favorite of this is that there was a case in season one we did, which was an unsolved mystery episode called Mystery on the Rooftop. It was about the mysterious death of Ray Rivera, which if you haven't, it's so bizarre. So Christy, on a hunch, calls up a local helicopter company that's local to the area where the crime took place and basically was like, I want to know, you know, what's the amount of time that it would take to get from this location to this location? Where do you fly out of? Like, how do you service? And she basically created a timeline. The timeline adds up.
Oh my God.
So that to me was like, that was a moment of her definitely like tapping into a resource of someone and then seeing. And since then, that company has also become a fan of the podcast and has offered to take us on a helicopter tour whenever we want to visit the area.
Do not do it, bitch. Do not. It's a setup, bitch. It's him talking through. It's that person talking through the thing.
We get in the air and then he, with the headphones on, he just turns around and we're like, oh no. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, 100%. I'm gonna give you some quick things, and you tell me what you thought when these things happened.
Yep.
What did you hear? What did you think when you heard that JonBenet's dad was dating Natalie Holloway's mom?
I was like, do they have a secret club? Like, how do these people, like the parents of murdered kids? I mean, that was 100%. Wild to me. And then I thought, on a sense, there was a part of me that was like, maybe that was nice. Maybe there is a sort of like a way that you can connect with someone who's gone through that kind of terrible loss that other people can't understand. You know, that again, I was like, I also had a little bit of compassion, and it was too bad that it didn't work out because I was like, maybe they connected in a way that I could never understand, you know?
100%. What about the rumor that Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey?
I just don't think that the timelines add up. The birthdays don't line up. There's proof that she was in an existence at the same time. I'm going to say no. I wish that it was that cool, like a conspiracy theory being true, but I think it's a no.
Do you think Amanda Knox had anything to do with the disappearance of her roommate?
That's one to me we should probably cover on our show because it's, to me, it's so confounding.
If Foxy Noxy was in America, yeah, I think you wouldn't have had so much of the media. Like the Italian press really made her out to be this monster. So once we got to the case 4 years later, we had already seen the movies. Okay, I'd seen two Lifetime movies on this shit before the ink had even dried on the warrant. Okay,
it's so true. But you know what other cases like that too is the Madeleine McCann case, where there was so much focus on those parents. I will admit my kind of perception went one way. And then when we covered it on the show and I heard Christy's research, she did change my mind. And it was like, there is proof that there was this serial killer criminal, but they did leave toddlers in an unlocked apartment unattended for multiple hours.
Yes.
That does not mean that they deserve what happened. I'm not suggesting that at all, but it does ask the question, you know, is that negligent? Where does the line lie? Is that crossing that line?
Mm-hmm. You know? Last one.
Please.
Do you think Cotton Weary really killed Maureen Prescott? Bitch, I have been struggling with this one since I saw Scream 1. Okay.
I know.
Did Cotton Weary really kill Sydney Prescott's mom? I honestly don't think he did it.
I know. I feel like in the world of that first movie, the answer is yes. But in the Scream universe, I think the answer is no.
It's crazy.
Right?
And we just never gave Ray Donovan another chance. Like, we were like, f*** you, you hot piece of s***. You killed her.
That's it. Get out. Go.
Get out of here. It's bizarre to me. When I was in high school, I think I was graduating the day we started talking about Natalie Holloway going to Aruba. Mm-hmm. It was in 2005. So she was on her senior trip when I was going on my senior trip. And then the conversations about Cancun were like don't leave anybody, don't let anybody go anywhere by themselves. You got to be super careful. And I remember it kind of sort of went in one ear and out of the next. And it didn't really hit. Like, I mean, we were in a foreign country trying to like go off the beaten path and people walking home by themselves. And it was just crazy to me that like Natalie Holloway happened at the same time. And it could have been any one of our friends like walking home from a bar.
Oh, and it's funny you bring that up because she is a case that we just recorded that's going to come out in a couple of weeks. And she was voted on by the fans. Again, another, you know, white woman death. But, you know, I have a question for you about that, because in Canada, we did not have these kind, or certainly wherever I grew up and my cousin grew up, we did not have these kinds of senior trips. So when you went on your senior trip, how many like chaperones were there? Like, what was the kind of system? Was there... did you have to check in, or was it literally like, you're young adults, we trust you, good luck?
Bitch, we could, the chaperones were at a hotel that was like half a mile away. So the chaperones stayed at the bougie ass hotel, like six, you know, like a 3 miles away, 2 miles away. And it was six parents, maybe eight, to 150 kids.
See, this is the same with her. This is the same with the Natalie Holloway case. We were shocked to hear this. Like,
oh, no.
That's crazy to us.
The parents come because they want to get just as lit as us. Right. And they just want a reason to like be in the business. But they often come so that there's somebody on the ground in case one of us got arrested, in case somebody got sick and you needed somebody to like come and rescue you. But like, we weren't really like talking to the parents. They didn't like know our ins and outs. But I will say that the way we went about it was like you signed up with this company and it was mapped out. So like you knew what you were doing on Friday. You knew what you were doing on Saturday. You knew what time the pool party started on Sunday. So if you ever wanted to retrace someone's steps in Mexico, in Cancun, there was a whole outline to it.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot of guessing. I felt bad for Aruba in general when I heard about this case, because Aruba never really came back.
No.
No one will go to Aruba.
It's so small is the other thing. Like, it's such a small country, and I know. The bar that she was last seen at, I can't remember the name of it, but they also were like, trying to not necessarily capitalize on her case, but there was like, you know, there was something Christy brought up about like their menus after the fact were like, thanks for being here. You don't want to leave because maybe your daughter's here somewhere. And it was just like questionable choices marketing wise. I feel like it was like, I guess you guys are maybe trying to turn into the Swerve. Maybe not the right choice. But you're right. I don't think that Aruba ever really came back from it. And I don't know whether you know this, but the guy who was, again, suspected in potentially being a part of her death did go on to kill someone else and admitted to it. And is currently in prison. Yeah.
By the way, that's the other thing. Like, you got away with it once. Somehow you figured it out. You got away with it once. Count your blessings and keep it moving. But the fact that your crazy ass had to do it again, like, to me, it's like, but that's where I don't understand and I don't know. I've never known somebody who killed someone else ever.
Yeah, no.
Like, I've never had a conversation with somebody who killed somebody else. You know, I've had somebody, I mean, I know people who have been in accidents and somebody died, you know.
Sure. Yes.
But I don't know what the inner workings are like with a serial killer or somebody who kills. Could you imagine being the girlfriend of, I don't know, Ted Bundy, or if you were married to Scott Peterson? Like, if you were, what's the girl's name who was the mistress of?
Of course, yes.
Can you imagine knowing that you hooked up and were in love with somebody who killed a pregnant woman?
I mean, there's been some people that I dated that I think if that had come out, I would have been like, it makes sense. Like, this makes sense.
100%.
You know, but yeah, no, that is, that to me, I feel like has got to be such a lifetime of healing for so many people. And that's the thing, is that these crimes are of obviously such an impact to the people who are directly affected, but the ripple effect is wild. And that's a great example of that too. Think about the people whose lives have been forever changed.
One of my closest friends is Faye Resnick.
Mm.
She was best friends with Nicole Brown Simpson.
Yes.
And she like lived with Nicole Brown Simpson.
Right.
Towards the end of her life. And she is in her 50s and she is still affected by that situation. When she hears his name, she still is, you know, brought up. I know when she goes to Mother's Day. I know when she's at Christmas. I know when she serves a Thanksgiving meal. I know she thinks about that woman all the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
And she didn't even have to tell me, you know, that we've had conversations about it in depth, about everything, about, you know, her friendship and what she wished she would have done, the last conversation that they had. Like, she still recalls that 30 years later.
Right.
Like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and she talks about having the nuts to get on the stand and how that changed her complete f-ing life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I will never know that feeling. We talk about, where were we when we heard the verdict? You know, we talk about where were we when we saw the police chase? This woman was in a courtroom when she heard the verdict and had to keep her head held high in front of her friend's kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's such a good point, you know, and I think that that's one of the things also that we try and really hit on our show is that this isn't just, I think that some of these figures have become larger than life. JonBenet Ramsey is a figure that has become, it's
iconic.
Like you forget that she was a 5-6-year-old child. You forget that it's like, it's not a character. We're not talking
about a Halloween costume.
Right. We're not talking about a movie. We're talking about a real life, you know? And when we were posting about our JonBenet episode, I know that Christy made sure that she was choosing photos where she wasn't in the pageant gear. It was like, yes, reminding people that it's like, this was a little girl and this was a horrible tragedy. Like it really
100%
was awful. And I think that it's really important to remember, because true crime is this genre that you know, obviously are hugely
dying
invested
over
in, and it's huge right now. I think it is still really important to remember that it's like, these are real people with real lives, and the people around them, like you're describing, their lives are done. Their lives are changed, I should say.
Forever.
Oh,
100%. So
never coming back. And I think it's really important to remember that and to really humanize the people that are involved in these things, to remember that we never want to make it seem like we're trying to capitalize or delight in the pain of others, but more than anything, try to get answers and try to avoid these things being repeated. It's what are the changes that we need to make as society, as people? What do we need to do to try and avoid, or when there's a potential serial killer, have something in place to, I don't know, alert a community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like these are the kinds of questions I think that are important when we're going down these, these iconic crime rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for humanizing other people's experiences in your quest to find the truth. And thank you for fighting for everybody's stories to be heard. Where can people find your podcast?
True Crime and Cocktails is available basically everywhere you stream podcasts. You can visit us on Instagram at True Crime and Cocktails, Facebook at the same, and everything else you need to know is on our website, truecrimeandcocktails.com.
And thank you for taking this sip. This was good.
I feel like we went on such a journey. Like, really, like it was like we went high, we got serious, we brought it back. I feel like we connected.
It was crazy.
Right?
It was really crazy. Watch, we're going to be like doing true crime, season 3 of Cocktails and like True Crime and Cocktails.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be me, you, and your cousin, but I'll just be blacked out drunk on the side.
And just every so often throwing something in like, she's guilty. And then you're back out.
Yes.
Exactly. I love it.
Oh my God. We love you here, Lauren Ash.
Oh my God. I adore you. This has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You guys, thanks for listening. And do not forget to subscribe. And be sure to come back every week for another pour of your favorite celebrity.